A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You are listening to Missed Apex Podcast. We live F1. Welcome to Missed Apex Podcast, powered by SpannersReady.com, providing podcasts and blogs. Hire us to produce your podcast by going to SpannersReady.com/hire-us. I'm joined in the podcasting shed by Matt Two Rumpets.
Hey there, Spanners. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I had the whole day to myself to watch the race. My Father's Day gift, apart from a lovely bottle of Talisker from the Isle of Skye, was to be left alone all day to my own devices. It's worked out pretty well.
Very sweet. Yeah, I actually, being Father's Day, upon conclusion of my writing and tweeting activities, went and made slime with my daughter, followed by a little bit of Portal 2 playing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and actually, this is motor racing related, so it's fine. My six-year-old has just started playing Rocket League with me, and he's pretty good. He can get around the track. Rocket League is like football, but you use your car to knock the ball around this arena. It's fantastic. But we were like 1-1 in the clutch, coming down, heading for overtime. I turned to the boy and I said, don't go for the ball, go for the blue cars. So I used him as a hatchet, and he looked at me and he was like, okay. And he did it. He just took out the opposition and let me score and win. But there we go.
I've done that before, but they gave me a yellow card for it.
Well, this is computer games. You can just do whatever you want. Well, Matt, we didn't get a safety car this race. It wasn't the race we expected.
No. I cannot believe, I will be honest with you, I cannot believe there was no safety car today. I can't fathom, after watching qualifying and FP3, that there was no safety car today.
And I looked,
blew my mind.
The odds were 1-9-4. So your £9 would have got you £10 back. And I was really, it was a tempting little bet for no safety car. Was really looking forward to seeing how the restarts would go on that long straight with the slipstreams, but we never got to see it.
It would have been so epically much more entertaining than what we actually got to watch, to be honest with you. And in GP2, just a small note, little shout out.
Yeah.
I think roughly both times they lost half the field.
Lost half the field?
Yeah, like literally 12 out of 22 cars finishing both races.
And that's why we saw the carnage. And someone was saying to me, well, I think that's because the GP2 cars were flat out for the whole of the race. So they're risking, like we saw in qualifying, when the cars are flat out, they were going into the runoffs, they were hitting the barriers.
Yeah, I think that could very well be it, that the race pace of the cars is much slower than that in quali, and that might have been the difference between yesterday and today.
Well, it just meant that the F1 cars, obviously with their fuel saving and tyre saving, perhaps weren't pushing that hard, because we definitely didn't see, say, for example, Lewis Hamilton struggling in all the areas he struggled on Saturday. But I've got an idea. Because it's a long enough track, next year in Baku, let's copy the tin-top bumper cars at the Le Mans 24 and have all the series together. So stick the GP2 cars in there as well to guarantee some safety car action.
I love that. I absolutely love that. In fact, I might have mentioned Le Mans once or twice in my qualifying and race review articles.
If we ended up doing that, then wouldn't Nico Rosberg have been the one who stops on track with like half a lap to go or something?
With the blown turbo?
with a blown turbo.
Ooh, first Japanese driver to ever win. Not. Sorry, last lap, 24 hours. But you know who did win? America, baby! Ford GT.
And that number voice, one, that voice one. That charged into the Missed Apex podcast is Formula Spies, Chris Stevens. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, Chris Rainbow Sparkle Stevens. We really haven't settled on a nickname for you yet. I think Rainbow Sparkle, that might be the way to go.
Rainbow Sparkle.
Yeah.
All right.
The alternate was Chris Interesting Stevens.
You know he's not going to get that because he doesn't have kids.
Well, he might be a brony. You don't know. You don't make judgments about his life. You don't know him.
He's right. I'm not.
Fair enough.
I make correct judgments about his life. But you know who we didn't mention?
Go on.
Friend of the show, Joey Hand.
Go on.
Thanks. Well, he drove that for a GT2 first place.
So what are you getting here that you can't get anywhere else? Well, obviously, we try to give you your race review ready for your Monday morning commute. We might be wrong, but we're first. We're also offering you a podcast that is safe for work, so you should be able to play it at work or in the car with your children without them learning any naughty words whatsoever. So that's some housekeeping out of the way. One guest has already barged in from the cheap seats. There's one more left, representing the whole chat room for what may be the last time. It'll be sad to lose you, T, but you got to do what's best for you. Tony, Thunder Beast Barnard. How's it going, Tony? Emotional?
Yeah, I'm tearing up. I'm getting pretty sad over here.
Well, you know there's no bitterness from me. I mean, it might be... They're not really our rivals now, but that is where we were aspiring to be. But you know me, I wanted you to succeed as you, and I'm not going to be the one that holds you back.
Well, there comes a time when your excellence and awesomeness... Really, it becomes apparent amongst the team that you're working with, so it's time for me to leave.
You feel you've outgrown us, basically.
Yeah, not only are you making me look bad, I'm also making you look bad, so it's best for everyone.
It's better for everyone. You're basically Anakin Skywalker, you're now turning into Darth Vader.
Yeah, pretty much. Onwards and upwards. Leave you losers in the dirt.
Can we replace him with someone who can speak English? I had to bring that one up. It's your last. It's the last show. I had to bring that one up, man.
Now that I'm going to a higher tier of professional broadcasting, I need to rise above that. So you can have your little comments.
Do you know what you're not rising above? Taking calls from the chat room and representing their comments, T. We have a
hello.
We have a new phone number. You can call in on the show from as a UK landline. We are on 0115-888. Apex. That's right. I made it so that if you dial the number that corresponds with the letters in Apex, that gets you to where you're at. So 0115-888-APEX. You can call this show right now from the chat room. Join us on the live stream. www.spannersready.com/livestream. I think there's a live stream tab. You can get us there and Tony will look after you, get you a room for the night and a few shots of whiskey. Should we go on to the qualifying?
Let's.
Well, Daniel Ricciardo, before the start of the race, took us on a lap guy, didn't he? He goes, oh, look at those walls, mate. They look bad. I hope I don't crash in them. Do you think he was thinking that as he was going round in practice? He's thinking, oh, mate, this is the bit where I said I hope no one would crash in it. I'd look like a right galah if I crash in here now. And that was it. Straight into the barriers and bins it. First victim of Baku.
But hardly the last.
No, and the biggest victim of Baku was, in the practice sessions, was a poor Sergio Perez, who, right near the end of P3, in the end, had a really big effect on the race, took out his rear end and had to change his gearbox. Was it, Chris?
Yeah, it was the damage to the car. You know, sometimes you damage a car in such a way that it doesn't... directly affect the gearbox. It's more the kind of impact and the shock waves that go through the car that end up damaging the gearbox. And yeah, he did need to replace it, which would be a 5-place grid penalty.
And he's not the only one. Magnussen and Sainz as well needed new gearboxes before the race actually kicked off.
Savage. Well, Bernie said the most important thing was getting in views of the castle. Now, we can't deny that there was a spectacular background and they got the castle in. They got some great TV shots. What did we think of the track? It's a brand new track. Did you like it, Matt?
You know what? I loved it when GP2 raced on it. I loved qualifying on it because it reminded me a lot of Monaco, where I think qualifying is by far the best show. It didn't promote the most interesting of races when all was said and done, however.
You know, I'm not a fan of street circuits, but to me, this had a nice little mix because you got all the best elements of the street circuit, but then it kind of grew up halfway through the lap and you got to go and do some proper motor car vroom vroom stuff.
It's a very unusual street circuit. It's very high speed in nature, one of, if not the fastest street circuit on the calendar, if not the world. It's a bit like Macau in that sense. Go on, Matt.
Yeah, and I was going to say, speaking of things that are now different with the chicaneless Monza coming at us.
Oh, no, I'm not happy about that.
The circuit that we just raced now, I think it's officially the worst on brakes, which might have been partly to blame for Red Bull's less than stellar performance.
Okay, so hang on. I want to get to Monza. Are they taking away the turn one? I know it's a diversion. Are they taking away the turn one chicane? They're not just making that just straight through, are they?
No, what they're doing is they're sort of recreating the right-hander. Oh, the name of the right-hander leading up to the second chicane escapes me at this moment, which is a little bit embarrassing. But basically, they're kind of recreating it, and the first chicane will be kind of left, right, and then lead into the second chicane.
Oh,
but in a way, it's a little bit more reminiscent of what the old Monza used to look like.
We've got an early call from the chat room. Who are we talking to, caller?
Yeah. Not a second.
You need to go find that music for him and play it now, because damn.
Here we go.
If you go down in the woods,
here he is, stomping into the podcast. It's Fat Hippo. Thanks for joining us so early in the show. Daniil, how can we help you?
I have to complain.
you have some concerns, I understand. What are they?
No, this would be completely out of character for you, Hippo.
Yeah, because you, Matt, you said...
Phew, that, it's not me.
That track is not quite what you want it to be. I think you have been watching too much NASCAR, because the only thing you were missing were crashes.
Nah, he's got a point.
Oh, there were some excellent overtaking in the GP2 race that we just simply did not see in the Formula One race.
I don't know what race you were watching, but I saw lots of overtaking.
I agree with Hippo on this about GP2's driving standards. They were just appalling. It's some of the worst driving I've ever seen.
Right.
Yeah. They were just clattering into each other in the first corner. And in Formula One, we were expecting the best of the world, and they got through a whole race without needing Bert Mailänder to do his job. So I think it was a brilliant race. We saw overtaking galore. So what exactly do you expect? It was like back in the days when you got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch the Adelaide race. It was absolutely brilliant.
Excellent. Well, a nice positive view of the track from you, Hippo. Thank you very much. I'm going to address Matt's NASCAR string vest urgings offline. Cheers for calling in, Hippo.
Wait, I have a question.
Oh, I hung up on him.
Yeah, I know you did. I was going to ask him if he really thought that race was exciting to watch. Number one. Number two, Chris?
Yes?
Retifilio.
Oh, is that the Monza? Yeah. Yes, the Retifilio Apost. Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, so Matt, answer the charge then. You are just a NASCAR hick. You're sitting there in your string vest with a quart of cheap off-brand whiskey, and all you want is crashes and fireballs.
Okay, and ladies racing. And but I ask you this, what was the best finish Raikkonen ever had in NASCAR? And I'll tell you, it was nowhere near fourth.
And this is a good thing.
I'm just saying, it might be harder than some people think.
Yeah, fair enough. I just Are the cars closer, maybe? Anyway, enough about NASCAR. Who brought that up? It was a beautiful track. Qualifying was fantastic. It really looked like it was challenging. Seeing the cars flat out was amazing. That little section just before you got up to the castle, where you went down into the very narrow streets and then you came up to the top of the hill where Lewis Hamilton came a cropper in qualifying. I thought that was, visually, it was stunning and it looked really, really testing. But when you got to race pace, all of that went away and it went back to our normal fuel-saving, tyre-saving strategy. Chris?
Well, I wouldn't say tyre-saving because it was a one-stop race and, well, for most people, and it wasn't so much of an issue. And, you know, fuel is an issue. Fuel is not an issue. I mean, it's always been, you know, a thing in any racing series ever. So I really tend to disagree when people say that, you know, it's a fuel saving formula. I agree, you know, it's more of an issue on a circuit like Baku. It's very stop start.
Mm-hmm.
So but it does make it a more fuel hungry circuit, but you're right, it really was, you know, brilliant. And actually I think in the, you know, race, it made some of those corners more challenging, because corners like turn 13 and 17 and 18, they weren't easy flat. You kind of had to just feather the throttle through them a little bit, and it was a bit more of a driving challenge. So I actually preferred it sometimes.
Tony, you don't know anything. What did you make of that track?
I thought it was dull as you like.
Not the race. Not the race, the track.
Oh, the track. Well, I was saying to you guys, like, this is going to be awesome. And I made a prediction a certain person was going to stick it in a wall. And I just put it in writing so that when it happened, I could be all glorious and that.
Yeah.
But it by looking at it, some of the narrow sections and stuff, even to the layman, you think, that's a recipe for disaster. It's going to go off. Yeah. It's going to be a really exciting race. And I was pumped. I was really looking forward to it. And then the race happened and I was just a little bit disappointed.
All right. Well, tell you who was disappointed.
You've got a major problem, Sunshine.
Not Murray Walker. I don't know how he felt about qualifying. The disappointment came for the legions of Lewis Hamilton fans, because we'd seen him in practice being 7/10 up, looking on it, looking mega hot, Matt. And then in qualifying, he just went absolutely nowhere fast. He must have, in every attempt at a time, ended up in a runoff zone before eventually breaking his suspension just before the castle. He just had a bad day in the office.
Oh yeah, he had a real bad day in the office, and very uncharacteristic, because usually a bad day for him means P2, 2/10 or so off of Rosberg, and this was like, I don't know, man. Did he fly to Le Mans overnight to just say hi to people? I'm not really sure what happened exactly, but it was the worst qualifying I've ever seen him turn in.
It's more than that. I think it's the worst qualifying I've seen from any top-tier driver, because I don't remember seeing Vettel or Alonso or anything have... How many times did he go into a runoff? 3 or 4 times? I mean, that was worse than Rosberg in runoff gate a couple of years ago. He had a real shocker. Have we got any insight at all into what was going on?
I think one theory I quite like to put forward is, you know, as a brand new circuit, there's no rubber laid down on that track at all. The tarmac is fresh as can be.
Yeah.
And so the track evolution is greater than you see at any other kind of event. And so a car that handles very well on Friday could be, you know, horrific on Saturday. So I wonder if Mercedes just got caught out by the track a little bit. Seems like an error they wouldn't make, but maybe they did just get caught out by it.
Oh, so you're saying it was a setup change that caught them out?
Not necessarily a change, but, you know, not reacting to the track. Or maybe they changed. Maybe they did change the setup in anticipation that the track would yield a certain amount of grip that didn't end up happening.
Okay, well, as a Lewis Hamilton fan that's just desperately trying not to cry after this weekend, on the floor rolling around in tears, the instinct would be to say, well, Rosberg was going pretty slow, especially in Q3, because he actually, in Q3, his time was slower than his Q2 time. Is there a case to be saying Lewis was just pushing it? and Rosberg was just making sure he got those laps in.
Well, you could say that. There was interesting, like watching quali, one of the things absolutely being the case was there was a lot of traffic. So traffic played a huge role. But I think you could look a little further backwards and say that if you looked at Rosberg's interviews through the weekend, with the workload that he was assigned and the way the red flags worked out, we might never have really seen his representative pace until he got to quali. You know, he might have been faster than Lewis all along. Just the timing of his laps didn't work out.
The thing that, you know, that was so important about qualifying is that you needed to get a banker lap in early on before everybody hit the track and all the yellow flags started coming out, because those yellow flags, they were out for a really long time because the runoff areas, they're very narrow. They're a bit like some of Formula E's runoff, where you actually have to, you know, reverse out of it. You can't just do a pirouette and carry on along your way. So, you know, you're right. Timing was everything. And actually, wasn't the red flag in Q3 about 15 seconds after Nico crossed the line?
Yeah, he finished his lap before the red flag came out. But I was going to say, only if you're Sam Bird could you do a pirouette and carry on.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Did that in style. Well, my point was that Rosberg was like, you know, lucky they'd done that, because if it had been, you know, 20 seconds earlier, then he wouldn't have had a time on the board either at that point.
Okay, we're going to come back to Lewis's incident in a second, but what about that bottom six? We've seen a major shift at the bottom of F1, haven't we? Manor just have arrived. They're doing fantastic things. Or are they being flattered by Renault and Sauber being abysmal?
Mercedes engine in the back of that thing's working very well. It's a circuit that is going to suit a very powerful and low downforce setup. So I think the circuit was working very well for Manor.
Fair enough. Go on, Matt.
I was going to go with the immortal words from Guardians of the Galaxy. A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Okay, man.
A little bit of both.
So, but, go on.
Sorry, we're jumping ahead of the race a little bit, but it's important to note that not both Manor drivers actually finished the race, because one of them cooked his brakes.
Well, yeah. With great power comes great brake responsivity. No, I couldn't squeeze in my Spider-Man pun. You did better than I did on that. Let's go to the last point I want to talk about in qualifying, which is Lewis Hamilton locks up his tyres in Q2, leaves them with a big old flat spot. There's then an appeal to the FIA to say perhaps these tyres would cause a safety issue. Can we please have a new one? And the internet went a little bit wobbly on that. So I'd like to talk about the internet wobbliness and the wherefores of what actually happened. So did they change just the front left, or did they change all format? We were arguing about it earlier.
My information means front left is what I got.
They just changed the one tire in the set. Yeah. So the first comments we got on the internet were regarding the rule itself. And people of the internet just jumping onto forums, jumping onto Facebook posts to make wild comments about the rules. We're getting a lot of things like, oh, why are they changing the rules for Lewis Hamilton and not for no one else? They wouldn't do it for no one else. And you just go, right, it's a specific rule. If you don't know the specific rule, don't just jump on the internet and kind of state it as a fact. But the internet is just weird. I mean,
I just want to say, because I've, you know, had the experience of it, because these generally are people who will look at a headline rather than, you know, actually understand what is happening. You know, I've had this on, you post, you know, one of your articles on Facebook, and then they make comments about it. You say, yeah, I actually said that. If you actually read the article, you'll see that I've mentioned this.
Yeah. So that's fine. If you don't know the rules, because I corrected someone and said, look, that's not the rule. Like, there's a rule that covers this. So, you know, maybe don't comment about it. And they're like, you're a snob. It's like, no. Look, I'm not a snob. Believe me, I would never claim to know all the rules about F1, or you guys would smack me down so hard. But look, here's a tactic. Don't fight a fair fight. Only fight battles that you're going to win, right? If you're attacking one guy, go with three. If you're attacking three guys, go in with nine. If you don't know the rule, if you're not sure, pose it as a question. Say, oh, it seems a bit weird that Lewis can do this. Is this within the regulations? then that gives you a lot more options going forward in the debate. If climate change deniers have taught us anything, it's how to debate when your position is preposterously indefensible. Go and listen to climate change deniers, and that will help you argue on the internet. But how come there's still snow? Yeah, it's just weird. I find it weird that people go online and they quote a rule that they've made up in their head that they couldn't possibly know, as if I can't just go and Google whether it's true or not. And I think it's a hangover from like the 90s where Dave in the pub would go, "It is a scientific fact that moles can give birth to badgers." And you'd go, "Well, I can't prove otherwise." You'd have to wait till you could go to the library. We don't live in that age anymore. So there was a rule that allowed him to change it for a perfectly good set of tires.
Well, not a perfectly good set.
Okay. So it's a
similar
to
a single, well, in this case, a single tire, because that was the one they decided was damaged enough to warrant replacement. And it had to have similar mileage. That was the thing. And I believe it was either the FIA or the Pirelli technicians who made that determination. Chris, you got something?
Yeah, it's worth mentioning that it's done on a safety ground, you know, because if you, if you flat spot a tire badly enough, then the vibrations it will have at 320 kilometers an hour, which you're doing for about 20 seconds on that straight, which is a long time, then that is just outright dangerous. And if anyone remembers Nürburgring 2005, then you'll understand.
See, and that's the other thing that people were coming out with on the internet going, "Oh, it was good enough to set a time in Q2. No offence to the people of South Essex. It was good enough to set a time in Q2. That means it's good enough to start the race with." Well, obviously, there's much different stresses on the car during race trim, lap after lap, going through degradation, than there is for setting a one-off time and then backing off completely.
See, I think you're making a mistake there.
Uh-oh.
It's simple. The rule states he can swap out the tire if it's decided that it's damaged badly enough. That was done. End of story.
You don't
like that, change the rules.
Yeah, exactly. I am pandering to it too much. And then as soon as I managed to convince one group of people that, you know, that they were wrong on the internet, that was the next thing. Well, that's a stupid rule. Well, yeah, well, that's besides the point, isn't it? Should we go racewards?
Let's.
Oh, no, you missed the apex.
Why not join us on the Facebook group Missed Apex F1 that I've just lost all the notes to? There are about 120 people in that Facebook group. Why not come and join us? It's probably my favourite place to hang out during the races and in the build-up on race weekend. So come and join us in Missed Apex podcast. We're all in there. Matt, myself, Tony Thunderbeast Barnard's in there. Chris, are you in the Missed Apex Facebook group?
I am, yes.
Excellent, excellent. So come and join us there. That's a nice, friendly place where everyone will be nice to you. Even the fat hippo is nice in that Facebook group. Matt, I've lost my notes. What's the first race point that I put down? It's the race strategy. I know you
strategy.
Love it.
Or is it strategy? I think it's strategy. Anyway.
Where was the race won and lost, Mr. Trumpets?
Ooh, well, I think the race was probably, well, it depends on which team you're talking about. If you're talking about the race, it was won at the start.
Yep.
Bingo, done. Nico showed the world that Mercedes can start faster than a Ferrari.
Occasionally, once a season. No, I know, in my mind, I wasn't really thinking about the Rosberg battle, because I think that Mercedes battle was won on Saturday. But I was thinking more about the interplay between Red Bull, Ferrari, the Force Indias coming through, initially the Williams, who faded away. But the most interesting thing to start with me was, after a string of bad calls by Ferrari, Vettel comes over the radio, box Vettel, and he did it in just the nicest way. No swearing, no kicking off, just, "Guys, are you sure? Do you really think, is it a good idea?" Now, did he have a better option in his mind, or did he just go into the race saying, "Whatever they decide first, I'm going to disagree with"?
He went on his gut instinct, which was that the tyres still feel good. They were graining at the time. He thought it would clear up, and he proved to be right.
They were protecting against undercut by Red Bull, who had much less choice about changing their tires than Ferrari did.
Go on,
sorry, maybe you caught me out or something, but
no, I was sort of going to hand over this section to you, basically, because this is where you thrive normally.
Right. Sorry. I was reading. I'll admit it, I was distracted by my dashboard.
Is it by the wonderful chat room?
Yes, indeed.
That's only going to get worse when T is gone, because we're not replacing Tony Thunderbeast Barnard. Well, you think about where we're going next with the race. We're not going to replace him, because I wasn't looking for someone to do that job. I had a Thunderbeast Barnard, and I utilized him in the best place he would fit. Therefore, we're not even going to try and replace him, Matt.
Okay, then. Well, it was interesting, then, if we're going to talk about the race strategy a little bit. There was a lot of original one-stoppers who popped over to two-stoppers, and I think that was driven by Toro Rosso. Is that right, Chris?
I think it was Red Bull, really, because they started on the super softs, and they faded away very, very quickly, and the softs didn't work out for them either. And that when they actually put the medium tire on, they actually managed to find a little bit of pace. But, you know, by then it was just, they were so far down the order. Where did Ricciardo finish up? Was it eighth? He was eighth for the most of the race. He was seventh in the end, which from the front row of the grid is not what you call progress.
No, and I think it's interesting to note, although it wasn't really talked about, we mentioned earlier that the brakes were the number one issue now that the Monza chicane is gone. And if you were thinking after watching the GP2 race that a long safety car period would ice your brakes pretty much, then you might be putting a little more covering on your brake shroud to try and help keep heat in the brakes and tires. And then if you don't get a safety car at all, period, you might be melting the crap out of your tires and be forced to keep on looking for a compound that you can keep in a proper operating window.
Well, I was discussing the sort of cooling of the cars in a little preview piece I did before the weekend, which was that, you know, we're 28 meters below sea level, so the air density is pretty thick, and usually that would mean, you know, you're able to get away with less cooling and more downforce, but the heat that we saw that weekend would suggest that maybe you do need a little bit of cooling. And then you throw in the high possibility of a safety car, especially as, you know, you do all your heating and your warming, which, you know, even after which is still not ideal. And then you thunder down for 23 seconds, this 2.2 kilometer straight, you're going to have ice cold brakes when you get down there. So it is an interesting theory that, you know, maybe they did anticipate an opportunity to cool their brakes more, but I wouldn't be able to say for sure.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be able to either. But it's interesting, of all of your top teams, Red Bull clearly was not on top of their tire wear in the least, and they were the only people to run the mediums that we saw, although they were out of new softs to put on. At least that was reported by Five Live in the broadcast.
So were they saved then by this new reg that said you could have the third compound? Because otherwise they'd have had to have gone on to another set of new softs, and they might have risked not even making that stint and going even further back down the field.
There's a chance of that, yeah. I think, mind you, that had we not had the third compound rule, I don't think they would have brought the super softs in the first place, which is the best thing about this, because Pirelli have been so conservative coming to new circuits.
Yeah, but whichever three they pick, they're going to qualify on the softest one, aren't they? So by having that rule...
Yeah.
You're basically saying...
Yeah, definitely. Having the medium tyre was a big save for them.
T, what's going on, man?
What's going on? Wow. It's all kicking off, isn't it, mate? It's very busy over here.
Excellent.
All right, yeah, so...
No. You're not getting away with a head movement like that. The sheer panic of head movement. Like, right, what's going on, like? I nearly dropped my Nuki Brown. That's exactly how you sound.
Don't try and ruin my reputation as a professional pretend producer when really you do the producing and I just do the chat. We've spoken, guys, everyone who's listening, we spoke in chat just now. He said, got any comments? I said yes. So for anyone listening, I was ready. Don't make me out to look bad.
Don't
what are you doing?
Spread your lies here on the Missed Apex podcast. This is a safe place.
All right. Anonymous said, interesting that Bottas did well in Canada, yet struggled here.
Well, that's interesting, but I don't think the Williams was as competitive a package here as it was in Canada. Am I wrong, Chris?
No, you're absolutely right. That's an interesting thought. Look how proud he is of himself.
I knew a thing.
He made a correct comment. Well done. It's interesting because you would think that the Williams package would work pretty well here. I think that they struggled with the tyres more than anything. Matt, I don't know if you heard anything about them and tyres, perhaps. Were they not working for them?
No, I didn't really. There was a brief, I think I saw Ted talking to Smedley post-race, but I think they were on about the maximum they felt like they were going to get. With Williams, you know, I mean, they've sort of reverted to we're faster in a straight line, but I think the twisty bits just were, they haven't figured out how to get downforce correctly onto the car. Every time they do it, it just makes them worse all the way around.
Is there a couple more there, T? If there is, I will. Look, you're not ready again. This is shocking.
What are you talking about? I was totally ready.
Okay, hang on a second. I'm going to leave you the chat room comments in the capable hands of Matt because I'm just being called away for a second. I will be back presently. Go ahead.
All right, Matt. So we have a comment from D. Wilson. D. Rester said the strake should have no impact on the brakes because of the heat generated by the tyres. Right or wrong, or both?
Other way around. The brakes generate heat that helps keep the tyres in the window. If the tires are in the window, I don't know. Even still, when you're moving in a straight line like that, you're not putting the same amount of energy as to when you're going around a turn and you have all the extra lateral loading going on. So, yeah, but the big difference would have been if there was a safety car, I think. But they use the brakes to drive temperatures in the tires very much is the deal.
All right, cool. Hippo said, all this tyre malarkey, because there's a lot of talk about tyres in the chat room. This race wasn't about tyres. That's framed as a question. What do you say?
Definitely, tyres caught a few people out because we were expecting it to be an easy one-stop, and that turned out not to be the case. I still, you know, definitely think it's not just about tyres. It's about using your pace.
Yeah, I would say that for Rosberg, it was not about tires. I would say for Ferrari, it was kind of about tires. And for Red Bull, it was absolutely about tires. But because Ferrari were concerned about defending from Red Bull, then yeah, it became very much about tires for them.
Okay. And Force India, for them, it was just about speed.
Oh, can we go on to the steering wheel of death?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I love the comments from the chat room. Bit scared that we'll have to deal with them ourselves in the future. Chris, that's not a manly dance. T, that is a manly dance. Guys,
don't care.
When we don't have the benefit of Tony Thunderbeast Barnard, we are a lot happier. T, killing me. We'd be a lot happier if you called in and we have a clever new phone number. 0115-888. Apex, if you spell out on your keypad 0115-888-APEX, that will get you through to us and speak to us next week. Right, let's talk about the steering wheel of death, because Lewis Hamilton was like William Shatner in Aeroplane 2, talking about the blinking and the flashing lights, all they do is blink and flash and drive me mad. And he was in that white helmet going a little bit loopy about the warning lights and the lack of power in his car. Have we decided between us what on earth was going on? Let's set the scene. Niki Lauda comes straight out, as he has been wont to do of recent years, of recent races, and gone, yes, it was all Lewis's fault. He has broken down entirely, and it is terrible. Nico has done fantastically, and this is all good. And then they go to Toto, and Toto goes, get to the chopper. It's not quite like that. I've gone back into Nicky, but he kind of goes like, hey, calm down. No, it's not quite like Nicky said. There's a few extenuating circumstances. Well, my Australian accent was failing, so I went to Scouse. And then we kind of get more of an explanation from Paddy Lowe. And then we get the Mercedes official press release. What on earth happened with his car? He was in the wrong mode. Is that right? He was in the wrong mode the whole time.
Right. So it's complicated in that it was a preset that they decided on, but they hadn't done a proper job of it because the running was messy on Friday. And the way the strat modes played off of the presets on the car was such that it happened to Lewis sooner than it happened to Nico.
Exactly. And we think that so what happened was this mistuned, setup that they had with their hybrid systems only affected certain power modes. And we believe that the power mode it affected was one that they select after their pit stops. And of course, Lewis pitted before Nico, which would explain why he had the issue before Nico. Just to kind of explain, what happened
Please
to both cars
do.
Was that they started derating earlier, which is when the batteries start to charge themselves more than they spend that electrical.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Energy. So that was happening earlier than it should have been. And it was costing them about sort of 3 to 4 tenths per second.
Just on that.
Tenths per lap. Per lap. Yeah. Do you know, when I was writing the article, I made that same mistake as well.
Yeah, you're a terrible writer. That's why.
I'm awful.
You've got a lot to learn. You've got potential. I like you. I hope you don't go to the dark side like Tony. Anything else in the chat, T?
Yeah, Fortis has entered the building. He said, send the hippo back to his watering hole. And Chris has no clue what he's talking about.
Fortis,
I have every clue.
Fortis, call in on a landline or a Skype. I am dying to hear from you on this. Skype is fine, or you can call 0115-888-APEX. Do that. I'm lost. Go on then. Anything else in the chat?
No, not really, mate. You caught me off guard.
I'm really getting a Friday afternoon feeling from you at the moment, T.
I have no idea what you're talking about. It's not like this is my last show. I'm not on wind down. I'm zoned in.
You're like a sacked employee. I think security should escort you from the building before you take any staples or paper clips.
Yeah, probably. I don't want to take the branded mouse mats or anything like that.
Oh, I wish we had them. Okay, so Matt, go on.
Yeah, no, I was just going to go in and add that this was all done to sort of optimize the different strat modes for this particular layout of track, which is why they might not have come across the issue before, and because this track is sort of a one off in terms of how long the straight is and how high the speeds are, and as a result of that. Even though the issue started to crop up earlier, it was not necessarily an obvious fix to it, and would have likely been less obvious to Lewis because he was in traffic and changing a lot more settings a lot more often than Rosberg, who was at the front and relatively unhindered.
So it was the pit stop that caused them to change modes. Is that correct? So I know they go into race start mode again when they go in the pits, don't they? So that they can get off quickly. But then had a pre-planned plan to go into a different strat mode in the second stint, that then this was the strat mode that happened to have the problem. So why did Nico Rosberg manage to flick it straight over and Lewis Hamilton was like palm mashing his steering wheel, going like my dad trying to figure out Skype on remote view? It's not working.
The best thing I can come up with is it's kind of like, you ever driven a car where the alternator is starting to go bad?
Yeah.
And so it drives and it's okay. But then when you start it up, it's weak and then eventually it won't start and you don't necessarily know why, because the alternator isn't properly recharging the battery, but it's still recharging some.
So, yeah. Okay. I'm with you.
So that's basically what we're talking about here. It's not that there was no recharging of the ERS system, but that it was only getting partial recharges. So as it went from full to empty, the engine began to derate more and more to try to compensate for it. And again, you know, according to what I'm looking at here, is that they started in different modes to begin with at the race because of their different positions. And I don't think it's an expectation that either driver should have been able to figure it out, but based on what they were up to in the cockpit, you know, he had a much higher workload, did Lewis, and many more. Yeah, go ahead.
The thing is that in such a technologically advanced formula, which we've got at the moment, and the inability of the teams to really guide the drivers through it all while they're on the track, it's, you know, worth knowing that information. And I think that's, you know, what's so critical here, because Nico, he was able to, you know, figure it out quite quickly, whereas Lewis spent, I think, 15 laps debating with the team, trying to work out what the issue was. And, you know, he lost time to both Ferraris and Sergio Perez because of that, and lost out on a chance to fight for second place, which the team thought was comfortably achievable with the pace of the car.
You seem to be implying there that they both had an equal chance to sort that problem out, but Toto said that the situation was different because Rosberg had caused it to go into that place himself. Therefore, he was like, "Oh, I'll just undo the thing I just did." Whereas Lewis didn't have that situation, so it seems a bit unfair to say that somehow he's failed to solve the problem.
The thing is that, you know, it's a team error that's been made here. You know, the team made that mistake. That's why the cars were derating earlier. Regardless of that, you know, had Lewis been able to, like Nico, fix the issue, he would have been able to go and have a chance at second place. And, you know, I've said this before, that I think Nico is a more technical driver. He loves, you know, delving down into the, you know, finer details of the car.
Right. Okay. I'm going to call, not rubbish, but what on earth are you basing on that? Matt's screaming to get in. I don't think you've got anything to actually base that on, rather than this popular myth that Nico is somehow the intellectual person and Lewis Hamilton's a dum-dum.
Well, I would like to just add this. First of all, as much fun as we're having, Lewis is hardly the only person to be shouting at his engineers for answers to questions that they weren't allowed to give. So we have Raikkonen whinging all the way around the track. He's like, surely you must be able to tell me yes or no, which Lewis said almost exactly the same thing. He's like, fine, I'll pick a switch. Tell me yes or no. And they're like, yeah, we...
He goes, I'm just going to start hitting buttons. And they're like, oh, no, don't. No, 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 please don't do that. And
I actually was kind of hoping that he would do that. That would have been so entertaining.
Screw it, I'm just going to hit buttons.
But no, did none of you see the interview with Danny Ricciardo post-race? And they asked him because it became a talking point on telly and on radio about these regulations. They asked him, well, how do you feel about, you know, these regulations? He's like, oh, you know, I'm all about driving the car myself because, you know, I'm an Aussie. And we said, no. We meant like when your engine doesn't work right and you don't know what to do. He's like, oh, well, that's a whole different. He's like, I don't even know what the engine looks like. And they yeah. they started laughing. He's like, you think I'm kidding? But he's not kidding. He has no clue what an engine even looks like. So how is he going to work out which possible energy map is robbing his ERs of full recharge potential at 350 kilometers an hour?
Tony.
Oh, it's funny, right? On that radio chat with Hamilton, like asking for help. And nope, can't tell you anything. Nope. And it was a bit petulant. Oh, well, I'm just going to start pressing things then, and I might not finish the race then. Thanks very much.
It was a bit like that.
All right, chat room.
You could just see him set off like the ejector seat by accident or something.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
If you won't help me, I'll just start pressing things and then I might not even finish. So what do you think about that? Yeah, don't do that. Don't be a fool. Right, so Fortis, I don't know what it is. Stevens, no, you are wrong. The issue started on lap 4, not after this pit stop. Hippo says Fortis is coming to kill you.
Where's
Fortis?
Can I ask him what his source is?
Right, yeah. Well, he's watching, so he'll probably come in with an answer to that. Fortis also, according to Toto, Nico's issue was due to a switch change he made. So all he had to do was undo what he had previously done. Sounds pretty simple, eh?
No, you're quite wrong, T. Not according to Chris Stevens. Rosberg is this technical guru, and Lewis Hamilton is just like, oh, I like to sing songs. On the A1, on the 602, as we come into Stevenage and do some rap music. What gives you the impression that Nico Rosberg is somehow a master engineer and Lewis Hamilton doesn't know?
Because didn't he famously say he knows what he's doing?
No, that was Raikkonen.
Oh, it don't matter then.
Oh, way to nearly bang in a good F1 joke there. You've crossed
that. Damn
it!
You know, I'd be embarrassed if I had to come back here next week, but fortunately, it's okay.
Go on, Chris.
I'm not saying that, you know, Lewis Hamilton is, you know, stupid. He's not an idiot. And, you know, Rosberg isn't, you know, a technical guru.
Almost the opposite of what you just said.
He knew something that Lewis Hamilton didn't. And I, you know, disagree with the idea that, you know, Nico implicated the issue on himself, because that's not what I've been hearing from the paddock or from the team.
Wasn't the question, Chris. The question was to defend your comment that Nico Rosberg is somehow more technical, and you made this comment on Twitter, and Lewis Hamilton isn't. Admit you've got nothing to base that comment on.
No, it's just a thing of Formula One, isn't it? That Lewis is, you know, perceived as the more naturally gifted driver, and Nico is the one. I've said this on the podcast before that, you know, Nico is the more technical. He likes to, you know, get down into the data to see where he can improve. And, you know, this comes after some very well-timed comments from Lewis Hamilton that simulators are no better than video games. And so
now hang on there. No, hold up. Vettel said that they were completely thrown by their simulator that told them that the twisty bits were going to be very difficult and the straight open bits were going to be easy. And he said it was the opposite of that. So why doesn't Vettel's comment make him... So I assume you also think that he is not a technical guy. Because his simulator was terrible as well, is what he said.
Oh, but in regards to a new circuit, it's never going to be exactly what you think it is, because this is the first time we've been there. But it gives me the impression that Lewis hasn't been spending as much time as Nico on, you know, working on things on the steering wheel and the real technical side of the formula now. Lewis just likes to kind of get in and drive.
At least he's learned his settings. He hasn't got them sat there on a sticker.
Yeah, so I've tracked down this claim for lap 4, and it comes from the BBC website. The Andrew Benson article that Lewis reported a problem as early as lap 4, and also that his car was in that mode, whereas Rosberg switched to that mode. But that is the only place I've seen that reported, and I've not heard it from the Mercedes people themselves.
No, I've not heard that from anybody else, least of all the team.
Yeah, I got a few chat things.
Go for it.
I'm going to read through the conversation, and the last one's the best one. Lewis was hopeless. It's as simple as that. More likely, Rosberg is simply smarter than Lewis. D. Wilson, what? That couldn't be any less true. Summers, the problem is that Lewis is just driving it hippo, and he backed off pace-wise. He'd have got more energy to recover the problem, as he did when he thought he'd solved the problem. And the last comment is, anonymous, my Kimi is useless as well. So... if it's my Kimi, so I wonder who that might be.
That might be the very fantastic and glamorous Vivian Bove. You're free to call in
so.
As well.
D. Wilson, I'm wondering how, when Toto finally tells the truth about an issue, no one believes him.
What do you reckon that means?
I don't know. I'm not the F1 guy. I just read him out, bud. Anyone else?
Well, I was just going to say, a lot of the comments I got on Twitter were just claims that the team are flat out lying, which I don't buy for a second.
Yeah, all right, and fair enough. Senior Trowell, Spanners has got so upset with people talking over each other, he's killed the stream to give them a good telling off. So maybe that's one explanation for what just happened. Apologies for that, guys.
They're like, oh, the stream is down. I'm like, oh, no, sorry, guys. And then, like, it comes back on and everyone, like, just looks super sad and it's dead awkward.
Yeah, everyone's had the hairdryer treatment from Spanners.
Okay, well, I haven't got the call that I was expecting to get in. So, guys, let's move on to any other business. Let's just accept that Chris Stevens has been defeated in a battle of champions. This is basically Clegane Bowl. You were the mountain and I was the hound, and I've defended Cersei's honour, or whichever way that's going to go. T?
Yeah, I think we can all accept and agree that Chris has been generally inaccurate on many counts today. Let's move on.
Who's that from the chat room?
No, that's just from me.
Love you. So proud of you.
Well, I...
okay, let's go on
good
to...
good luck. Whoever is employed, T, good luck to you.
That was a terrible comment to make. Very, very rude. Let's move on to...
Guys, you're getting it all wrong.
Any other business, who's getting it all wrong? I have to say, briefly, for me, Paul D'Resta is not a good commentator. I think he comes across as a very lovely guy, and I'm sure he's a great guy, and he's very well-connected. But he sets himself up on the commentary. Oh, hang on, we do have a call. Paul D'Resta is saved for now. Who do we have on the line?
Hey, what's up, Spanners? It's me, Fortis.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to switch the stream because I've just realised it gives your phone number out. I won't put that recording out. Fortis, how can we help you? I assume you're here to give Chris a nice kiss and cuddle.
Nah.
What's your...
You've been saying a lot of tripe in your comments just now. Firstly, Rosberg on Friday also said the Mercedes simulator, right, he was basically incorrect.
Ooh.
With the track. There was some weird settings about the track in the simulator.
Which is exactly what Hamilton said.
No. No one picked up on that and said anything, but you're quick to vilify Lewis because, oh, he didn't use the simulator. So what? He hasn't used the simulator. He hasn't used the simulator or done a track walk since 2006. He has the third highest number of pole positions, and you're quick to jump on the one thing, oh, because he said he hasn't used the simulator, and then vilify him for that, and then have the nerve to say, oh, well, I don't think he works as hard as Rosberg because of that.
Fortis,
that's not what I'm saying at all.
No, that's what you're saying. There was an interview that someone sent to me that he did in Germany where he said he doesn't get appreciated for his technical ability because people get the impression that he doesn't work as hard as Rosberg. And you falling for the same trap by putting out that very same comment by saying, oh, because he said he didn't work, he only did 8 laps in the simulator. I believe Alonso said he didn't do any laps in the simulator of the track.
Fortis,
so No. Let me finish.
No, I've got the hang-up button right here.
No, let me finish. So why is no one having a go at Alonso? Matt already commented on it. It was in Andrew Benz's article on chat in BBC where it said it started on lap 4. Rosberg issue, Mercedes have said themselves that Rosberg issue result of him making a switch change, which made his issue easy to resolve by just undoing what he did. Hamilton was a completely different thing. So to try and imply that, oh, he doesn't know what he was doing just because Rosberg saw this issue is completely unfair.
Fair enough. And I will put him to account. Do you have any other points? We'll let the lads answer off the air, Fortis.
You heard Nicky said something, and right away everyone jumped on it. Oh, look, the stupid boy versus the bright boy. Where did that come from?
Fortis, thank you very much for a very passionate and involved call, and I will put him to task on those 3 points now. Thanks for calling. We will catch you soon, Fortis. Chris Stevens getting a hammering from the second call of the day.
First of all, I don't buy for a single second that these drivers haven't done any laps on the simulator, because that would have been their first tool at their disposal to try and learn the new track. And I've, you know, had word from the team that all of them have been using the simulators to try and learn the track. Yes, of course, there's going to be some inaccuracies in it because it's a brand new track. I mean, I don't have anything else to say on that one. First of all, I'm sorry you've taken some of my tweets out of context. You know, I'm sorry you've misunderstood them, because
so you're saying you weren't calling Lewis Hamilton stupid.
I was not calling Hamilton stupid. I was saying that Nico's approach to his driving may have benefited him this weekend, and I'm definitely not saying that Lewis doesn't work as hard as Nico, because he absolutely does. It's just they go about their preparations in very different ways. And it turns out today, Nico's was the right approach.
Matt?
Well, I don't even know, with the information we have currently available, if we can say that Nico's approach to his driving, in the sense that you feel that being more technical benefits him, was the correct approach. Because I don't think we have enough information to actually really know 100% what happened. We have a pretty good general idea of what was going on. But I'll tell you what struck me about that Lewis quote. Because what he really said was he felt like he could learn as much for what he needed to know to drive well. He could learn as much from a video game as he could from the simulators, because they don't accurately recreate the sensations of driving well enough to help him. But that he felt like it was probably a useful tool for the engineers and the other team people. That was the full extent of his quote. And as such, I, number one, have to say there's no reason to disagree with his assessment of that. And number two, he's probably pretty right, because there's a number of drivers who probably feel similarly. You know, but if you've ever been in a motion, if you've ever been in something that simulates motion, it's nice, but it's not like actually getting in an actual thing and doing an actual thing. And at that point, it's not useful to him. It's the visual stuff that he needs more than anything else. And the video game provides it just as well.
Well, I mean, I know Alonso and Hülkenberg both said they didn't use a simulator coming here before. So it's obviously, you know, Alonso's all right. He's quite good. And I won money from him not finishing. Yes, score. He came up with a phantom, couldn't be bothered to finish the race, technical issue. But also, wasn't Michael Schumacher famously, he didn't like the simulators because there was a disconnect in his brain between what he was seeing and the complete lack of sensation.
Not that I'm bringing up Le Mans on purpose, Joey Hand for GT, go, go, go. But there was a very nice documentary done about Patrick Dempsey, in which he climbs into a simulator, drives it, and climbs back out and says, I can't handle that thing. It makes me sick to my stomach. Even though he could climb into a car and drive around Le Mans just fine. So, yeah, I think there probably are certain people that it really doesn't do very much for and is not helpful.
Okay, then let's put a lid on that. There are always, always going to be passions running high. And for the first time, our chat room may have taken a slightly tense tone. Guys, I love it when people are having a debate. I do absolutely love that. In my mind, the rule is, there's no rule as such, but I would like it to be, if you think what you're going to say and do is going to cause stress to another person on the end of the internet, that would be my line. And let, you know, you don't know what kind of day the other person is having. His wife could have just left him. He could have just been in a car accident and narrowly avoided death. So let's keep it cool, dudes. What's up, T?
Whoa, I'm feeling quite enlightened by that pep talk there. Thanks. Feeling pretty fly now, yeah.
Join us next week on a very special
episode.
I'm in
touch with my zen and chi, etc.
Of Spanish.
All right then. So, you know, traveled is Fortis, Hamilton's father in disguise. Fortis then said Alonso and Hülkenberg said neither of them use a simulator.
Yeah, I just said that. Nice one.
Yeah,
good to know you're listening, jerk.
Shut you. And okay, D. Wilson's just come in with a new one. Yep. I'm going to read it out. I haven't vetted it, so here goes. Jensen Button said GPS on the track was so far off he didn't use it. Lewis is the person who takes copious notes on everything from track changes to car changes. Since he's his own race day engineer, does Stevens note that Rosberg pours over Lewis's data during free practice because he's often tenths behind him? Saturday, Rosberg said he has a lot of work to do because he was so far off what he thought would happen on track.
All right,
that was a mouthful, wasn't it?
I think we're gonna leave that there because there's just a couple of other points we want to get in and go to the podium. Hey,
I just quickly point out that the data thing works both ways.
It does. No, you're absolutely right. I think Mercedes, and in fact, I'm pretty sure Paddy Lowe has said the drivers don't have a choice in sharing data. They have to share data. So, and Lewis has benefited from that. He benefited it from it in Spain this season, and we know he's done it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that in particular. It's because those setups and those things, the engineers have a lot of a hand in that as well. And the engineers are team engineers. Unless you're going to assign dedicated teams of engineers, this is Team Lewis Hamilton, this is Team Nico Rosberg, I don't think you can withhold. Otherwise, you're going to have a team like McLaren in 2007, where you've got two sides of the garage fighting each other within the team. So that's no good. I'm happy with that. I've lost my chain of thought. I don't know. What do you guys want to talk about? Let's talk about DiResta, because I just wanted to quickly get it off my chest because it annoyed me, because it ruined my race. If it was a really exciting race, you can have a guy like DiResta there going, well, that sometimes those strategies do work out and sometimes they don't. You can have that if there's really exciting things going on. But in this race where we had a lot of lulls in action, you need someone interesting and engaging. And it's not that he's not interesting and engaging. It just didn't feel like he was trying. And I don't know if it was nerves because he doesn't normally do the big race thing, but I am not going to watch Sky again if I have a choice. Go on, Matt.
Yeah, well, my preferred strategy is to put Sky on in the background and then have BBC 5 Live up front. I think that's the best way to go. But that's just me.
That's not a bad call. And I would have chosen the Channel 4 feed this time, but Channel 4 was so poor at getting the qualifying out on demand yesterday. It got to 8:30 and the qualifying still wasn't up on demand. There was no way to watch it. So I ended up just having to buy a Sky Pass for £7. And because I'd like spent £7 and I'm a dad and I'm the sort of person who goes around turning light switches off and complaining that we're heating the entire street, I was darn well going to use my pass to watch the race today. And obviously Brundle was off racing at Le Mans. So yes, we had Paul DiResta on there. I think, yes, if you want more insights from the driver in the practice sessions, that's great. But I don't want to hear him particularly on the race. T, you looked poised to say things.
No, I was just laughing at you with the dad thing. It was funny. It took me about 4 or 5 hours to watch the race because I kept getting interrupted. I kept having to pause. Oh, what? You want attention on Father's Day? What's wrong with you? The race is on. And then
is that how you got an hour behind us watching on Skyfly? I said, oh, I'm an hour behind. Well, I was sure you started at the same time. Oh,
yeah,
one thing I wanted to say was swearing in general. What do you guys think about the drivers? Every sentence is beep, pits, beep. What do you guys make of that?
Well, I'd say it is beeped out, but I would suggest that it may hinder the producer's ability to give us everything because they have to delay things to check them and filter them and beat them out. If they were a bit more civilized, then we might actually hear more.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any reason. The problem is for me, it's not the odd swear they have to beat out. It's just it's become habitual.
I was going to say, in the old days, about which I know plenty, they used to do it on purpose so the radio transmission wouldn't be broadcast.
Yeah.
So you notice that it tends to be, well, not Vettel, but for Raikkonen, I can see that just being a force of habit. But I think personally it's because Ferrari are trying to lead the World Drivers Expletives competition.
Okay, guys. One topic ended up dominating the show, for which I don't apologize. That is often going to happen, especially when excitement is running high. You get what you get here, and there are lots of podcasts that will give you a blow-by-blow account of the race later in the week.
Yeah, well, if we're going to talk about it, we should talk all the way about it, which is, what do you think? Do you really think these radio rules are serving the sport? Should they be changed or altered based on what you saw today? I mean, because the teams all do have to follow the same rule.
Yeah.
This is true.
I misunderstood completely when they brought this rule in. I thought that this rule was to stop people saying, oh, you've got to brake 5 meters later, you're missing that apex. You know, things like actual driving technique. It seems bizarre, completely bizarre to me that they cannot give them an instruction to fix a fault. I mean, is there not a safety issue? What if it was a fault that was making him decelerate on the straight with a car behind him in his toe? It just seems like madness. It would seem obvious. If you're not going to allow them to fix technical data, you need to trim back the tech and stick them back in 1980s cars.
You can, you know, give messages that, you know, are sort of safety related, but I do agree in, you know, cars that are so technically advanced these days, it doesn't really make sense to plummet all that information on the driver. I think the engineer should be able to have a say in how the car is operated. But one thing I definitely don't want to see is driver coaching.
Yeah, and that's what I thought we were getting rid of, but it's not. It's this.
Well, that was the original intention.
Okay. All right, guys, we're going to move on to the podium celebrations now and on to the awards that I didn't steal from F1 Blog. I stole them from FilmSack on FrogPants. I mean, is it better that I steal from one thing rather than another? Okay, then I'll throw some love back and say check out the morning stream and FrogPants because I do lean heavily on some of my podcasting heroes from that network. Matthew!
It's not theft. It's an homage, my friend.
It's an homage, isn't it? Was it Geniuses Steal and Idiots Borrow? Or something like that. Anyway,
I don't know.
I want to know who was, Matt, it's you. Who was your thing of the weekend? So now we're clarifying. It can be anything. A driver, a tire, a wall, anything. Who's your thing of the weekend?
Ooh, well, now that you've changed the rules, you've made it very complicated. I have to say it's my thing of the weekend would be... Force India.
Yeah, that's a great shout. That's a great shout. The whole team as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, have they ever maximized their kilometer per dollar potential?
And it's worth pointing out that they had a big upgrade, especially in the front wing area in Spain. I'm talking as if Summers messaged me. make sure you point out that... the front wing was much better because of the aero tunnel. So I think basically what they've improved is the aero coming through the front wing and going up and around the tyre is the impression I got. Now, the big thing this is doing for them is they're helping them use the tyres and doing all the good stuff like switching them on and all the rest of it.
It's letting the tyres bear less of the brunt of the grip because they've now got the downforce sorted out better. So the tyres last longer and they're able to do more with them, a la Mercedes.
Yeah, that's great. Chris Stevens, who was your thing of the weekend? Are you doing all right there, Chris? You've taken a body blow. You've taken on a giant there, and I think
I'm doing just fine.
You've stood up to it pretty well. I think you're wrong, but I think you stood up to it really well.
I think you're wrong, but I'm doing just fine. My thing. I'm glad you made it thing of the weekend.
Yeah, thing of the
weekend. I can say that it's turn 15, which is a brilliant corner because it has caught out so many people. Nice little narrow runoff, and if you get it wrong, you're in that wall. And it actually played quite a big part on Force India's weekend. So yeah, turn 15.
Yeah, because ultimately it robbed them of a potential second place, probably, didn't it? And my thing of the weekend is a human adult called Sergio Perez. Someone who I know a lot of people have got detractors from him, but it always looked like he had the raw talent and the raw speed. And it's now his advantage over Nico Hülkenberg. We're getting into the territory where there's always some sort of reason why. We're into Jensen territory now, aren't we? Where there's always some sort of reason why he wasn't up there with Checo, as they call him. And I think that he is on a roll, and I hope he can get that momentum going because he's a real talent in F1. So my thing of the week is Sergio Perez. Tony, Thunder Beast Barnard, can you take your eyes off the horror of the chat room for a second, and tell me your thing of the week.
My thing of the week, awesome. Last week I commented on how, was it last week? I think so. I commented on how awkward it was in the driver's green room after the race.
Yeah.
When I had the preconception that they were all busy mates, and it surprised me that it was a lot of awkward,
Yeah. So how's the kid?
Well,
yeah, kid's fine.
I think I've got a theory now, because this week, it was mega. They are all buzzing mates, and it was amazing. And so I'm thinking maybe it might just be Lewis Hamilton. It's like, this is a hypothesis, right? So I may be gone. I'll dip in now and again to try to contribute, but just keep an eye on it for me. I've got a theory that maybe they are actually all best mates, but it's like at work when there's that one guy that nobody likes and everyone will be in a room having a laugh and a joke and that one guy walks in and then we all get sucked out and it's super awkward and silent.
Well, so. I don't know. I think Lewis gets on with guys, like he seems to get on very well now with Sebastian Vettel, which is odd, and Alonso. I don't agree with that. I think you're being very mean that he's that weird, smelly guy that sits next to me and uses unnecessarily long words from 9 till 5 every day.
But like utilize instead of use, like you did about 20 minutes ago.
I just want to utilize the best possible means. No, he said instead of saying clothes, instead of I want to go and get clothes, he said, where can you find attire for this occasion? Ah, it's not attire. Who says that? Right. Bad thing. Bad thing button.
Oh, no, you missed the apex.
Me first, since we're talking about the interview room. For me, the person who missed the apex is Nico Rosberg, as soon as his car stopped in Parc Fermé. He failed completely. Like, drove a great race, he did everything right, missed his mark, hit the pit board. He has this want and desire, for whatever reason, probably because he's a handsome young man, to take his helmet off first. And he failed to do it a few weeks ago, the last race he won. This time he sort of got it half off, but he only got it up to his forehead. Then he struggled getting all the clips off. With his helmet half off, you could see how much you have to strain to lift yourself out of the car, and then take the hands device off. Then he went to take the rest of his helmet off, but his visor was stopping him getting a proper grip. So he had to put the other hand up, open the visor so he could grab like the mouthpiece of it and take it off. He then, in the interview room, Matt, you noticed this. What was he trying to remove? Was it his earpiece? And it pinged,
yeah, I think it was earpiece.
And
yeah.
It pinged right back into his eye. And he didn't flinch for a bit. And then he slowly moved his hand up to his eye. And he's like, you are trying so hard to pretend that didn't hurt. But he was clearly in agony. And then his celebration jump didn't land on the podium.
That you could tell it probably killed him.
It knacked.
And after a few seconds, he moved away into the corner, away from the camera, and turned away and rubbed it a bit more.
It's like when you're tired and it hurts more. That's what it looked like.
It for me, it was just the sound that it made. Because it was the battery or the actual radio part of the earpiece was in his hand. And when he moved it across to grab something, it just like whipped up and smacked him upside the head and just made this sound that just said, there's going to be a knot there tomorrow.
Okay, go on then, Matt. Who missed the apex for you?
Oh, who missed the apex? Gosh, there are so many choices. But I'd have to say Red Bull missed the apex, man.
Yeah, from second to seventh with their lead driver. That's pretty bad. Matt, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me at MattPT55 on the Twitters and at thejudge13.com for race and qualifying reviews. Oh, and go buy my wife's book, too, A Common Scandal. Thank you.
There is no better race review, sorry, Chris, on the internet of things than what Matt PT writes after the race, because it's awesome. It has a unique style, and I am trying to muster up enough money to steal you for myself. Chris Stevens, who missed the apex for you?
I'm going to go with the other Red Bulls, the Toro Rossos.
Oh,
Suspension failures on both cars, double retirement.
Do you think there's like Jack in the corner, and Jack's the suspension guy, and he's just like, what was wrong with the cars? What happened? Suspension? Bugger.
I wouldn't know anything about any car failures this weekend.
Well, people can find you at Formula Spy, Chris. You've been prolific over the last few weeks.
Yeah. Find me on Twitter at @CStevens_journo, where you can find apparently controversial tweets. I try.
Tony, who missed the apex for you, buddy boy?
Oh, I don't know, mate. I mean, normally I spend the time combing through things to figure one out, but I've just been putting out fires in the chat room.
Are they being mean?
So has the chat room missed the apex then?
Yeah. Yes. Big time. It's been awful. It's been awful.
No,
I tell
no,
you
no,
what,
no.
though, you actually need me, so let's let's renegotiate the salary that we were talking about. Yeah, you need me.
Look, it's just high spirits, I'm sure. I'm trying to encourage people to join the chat room. Don't say it's awful. Come to spannersready.com, click the live stream tab and come see for yourself. And you can come and on the live stream, there's a video feed. You can see my unnaturally handsome face. And because I posted a selfie this morning and people were accusing me of using some sort of beauty mode on the Samsung phones. I didn't even know they exist. I have no idea. I'm a looker.
Whatever. You've got that cranked up to 11 on a daily basis.
Wow. Maybe I'm just a genuine 11. Who knows? This is a beautiful face. Guys, thank you so much for your contributions today. I think it's been a very fun and enjoyable show. I would like you guys to come and join me at spannersready.com. If you want to help me promote this show and get it going, because we've got some fantastic momentum, I'd appreciate anything you can do. We put the podcast player in all of the articles on spannersready.com. So, you know, it looks a bit sad when it's just me going around the internet going, please, please look at my podcast. Please, can you read the thing that I've sneaked my podcast player into, please? And people suss that out fairly quickly. So if I could get a few of you sharing that stuff to show your support, I'd be absolutely delighted. The website address is www.spannersready.com. I'd also love you to listen to Dad Hub Podcast, where me, Matt, Tony, and two other insignificant people talk about parenting. Until then, wounds heal, chicks dig scars, and glory lasts forever. This is Missed Apex. So, Tony, I'm just going to get you to read out so I can edit back in. The chat room is a wonderful and fun, caring environment in which you'd want to spend your Sunday evening.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The chat room is, it's a delight. It's honestly, it heals the soul.
Yeah. No, guys, we appreciate your involvement, and I hope that no one has been too scarred by these events. If the chat room has affected you.
Comment of the week.
This is the part of the show where we do
comment of the week.
Oh, this week, and thank goodness, because the look on Tony's face was like, oh, mid, I haven't got one leg. I need to hide in the smog of Middlesbrough until this all blows over.
And we do have to Senior Trowel for this.
Go on then.
Please, because I haven't got a clue. There's just so much. I'm glad, Matt. Thank you so much.
Oh, no, his comment of the week was literally comment of the week with several question marks after we pretty much ended.
All right, and I've got one. I had one.
Okay, go on.
Adam Parsons, as I like to nickname him, is Nostradamus. I have the overwhelming feeling that our expectations of carnage and safety cars may end up in being met with the dullest procession we've seen yet. And that was genuinely predicted.
That was in the Facebook group. Yeah, Adam Parsons said a lot of stuff like that. He might be a wizard. But that's fine. It's won him the honour of
comment of the week.
And I think I preferred it when it was all mum jokes in the chat room.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.